Broadcasting live from the WKBC studios in Garden City, this is the Morning Roundup with Baylen Height on 99.9 The Rock.
Good morning, Western Kansas. How's it going? We're back for the Morning Roundup here on 99.9 The Rock. Baylen Height, Mark McClure on this rainy Friday morning in the great part of Southwest Kansas. Can't wait to get today's show started. You got the Morning Roundup right now on 99.9 The Rock. Thanks so much for tuning in, being a part, or rather making us a part of your morning. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to recap the Denver Nuggets' big win last night over the Los Angeles Lakers. They take a commanding 2-0 lead. We'll do a quick check of the PGA Championship and kind of just float around getting you ready for the weekend. Also recapping some regional soccer and softball action yesterday. Kind of a hodgepodge of a show. If I had to say what we've got rocking and rolling, it would be some sort of a leftover casserole, Mark. We're kind of just putting the pieces together, getting everything set for the weekend. I know you've had a couple of days off now since the regional baseball. What have you been up to? How are things in Dodge City?
Things are going great, man. I can't say enough about how much I enjoyed just hanging around. Went out, got my membership at the Mariah Hills Golf Club, and I have absolutely been loving it. I've always been a golf guy, and now I get to play for way less than I did back home, and it's just the greatest thing to be able to get out there and play, get ready for league, do all those things down at Mariah Hills. So it's been great getting down there, getting an opportunity to kind of just meet and greet. You know how it is, especially when you're new. That's something that kind of can tie people together, the great game of golf. So that's been taking up a lot of my time, especially this week. It's been a little bit of a slow week, but we're excited. We got some Southwest Kansas Storm football this weekend, and then get ready for state track next weekend.
How many times have you gotten out there?
Four already, and I've had the membership for like a week.
Okay, all right. What's your favorite hole? What are you looking at? Do you have one yet, or are you too early to decide?
It's a little early, but if I had to pick one of them right now, I believe it is the fourth hole. It's kind of, it's a par five, and it goes down just a straight fairway down the right side is where you want to be on the approach shot. I ended up playing it up the left side because, you know, me and golf sometimes have disagreements, but when you get up on the green there, you're kind of at a high spot. And you can just look around and see just the rolling hills. You can see everything that's around that area. There's not a lot of trees at Mariah Hills. It's a very flat golf course for the most part, but it's one of the higher parts on the course. And just a really pretty view from up there. You can see clubhouse and all the surrounding holes and then some of the surrounding area. It's a very, very pretty view from the top. I believe the fourth green. It might be the third.
I think I've heard that. I think I've heard the fourth hole is one that a lot of folks look to and like over there at Mariah Hills. So that's not a surprise if that is in case hole number four. Speaking of four, that is currently the leader, four under, Bryson DeChambeau with the PGA Championship at Oak Hill Country Club, Rochester, New York. We had a little bit of a weather delay yesterday. That prompted a later start for the championship, and so that brought on, guys had to wait to finish their rounds this morning. At least some did because of not enough daylight. So there are a couple of guys that are still finishing up round number one, the projected cut line right now at 3 over. Some popular names in the mix that are over the cut line heading into Friday. Right now, name that pops out, Patrick Cantlay. That's a popular name. Zach Johnson sitting back at 4 over. Let's see who else is kind of filtered in through here. Francesco Molinari, who had a really nice run. He has not been playing good golf in the last couple of years, and unfortunate to see that for Molinari after his really quick rise to fame. Matt Fitzpatrick at 6 over. That's a bit of a surprise as well. Tyrrell Hatton. The lowest score or highest score is from Gabe Reynolds, who's 15 over. And yeah, that's kind of a check of the cut line after round one this morning. So still, for the most part, a really good field that's sitting in impossible territory to attack. There's old Scottie Scheffler hanging around the top threes, 3 under. Dustin Johnson's 3 under as well. Johnson is back and coming off the LIV Tour, and also working off of an injury, which he alluded to yesterday, Mark, or 2 days ago. Mark, did you see that video by chance?
I did not, but I'm surprised that he's been as effective as he is so far, because Dustin Johnson, people always kind of look at Dustin Johnson, they question, you know, how much he cares, and I understand that because he carries himself in a very stoic manner. I mean, this guy still has the game. I know that it's been a while since people have really seen it come out, but you saw yesterday he still has a lot of gas in the tank, and he's ready to make a run at this thing. Mm-hmm. Again, I know as much as some of the golf lifers don't like to say it, the LIV guys have been playing really well in this particular tournament. They were good at the Masters. So there's a little bit of a conversation to be had there. Not saying that it's more higher quality golf or anything, but those guys aren't losing their edge for being on that tour, which isn't necessarily as competitive as the PGA.
Rory McIlroy right now, one over. He's shot a 71 yesterday, tied for 27th. Justin Thomas in the back end of the mix as well at two over. Koepka also at two over. Mickelson, three over. There's Ricky Fowler with a plus three on the scorecard. Gary Woodland. There's a couple of big-time players that are hanging right around that cut line. They'll need a nice
How about John
two.
Rahm, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
What Rahm, a struggle for John struggle. Yesterday. It's a six over. He posted yesterday, one of his worst rounds in a major, coming in number one ranked golfer in the world, and just really got eaten up by that golf course yesterday. I mean, I'm not sure how much you saw of it, Balin, but holy smokes, the rough was really long down at Oak Hill Country Club. And I'm going to tell you right now, the cut line is going to move south pretty quickly, in my opinion. There could be right around, I think they were saying, 15, 20-mile wind gusts this afternoon. It's going to get very blustery out in New York in the afternoon session, so that line is probably going to be closer to five or six over par, because I think even par by the time we get to noon on the East Coast is going to be a good score, because if it gets windy around there, it's already hard enough playing at Oak Hill. Playing it windy is going to be a problem.
Well, it's a tough course, and it's something we don't typically see, too, at the PGA Championship. I feel like it's one of the easier major championships of the group of four typically. And so seeing these scores right now is kind of uncharacteristic of what we're used to. Also, Jason Day, another guy who a lot of people liked after his performance last week, he's got a six over coming into the day today. That scorecard for Rahm, by the way, after day one, he bogeyed on hole two and three. Also bogeyed on that was a par three, by the way. He got a four. On a par four, the sixth, a bogey, a double bogey on the seventh, shot six shots on a four, and then the last three holes, 16, 17, 18, a bogey for John Rahm. He had just two birdies on the day. He had a three at hole number eight and a three at hole number 10. He shot a 39 on the front and a 37 on the back. I mean, really, really uncharacteristic day for Mr. John Rahm. We'll see if he bounces back today. Curious to see what that cut line does look like, because I'm right there with you, Mark. I think after the weather today and some of the late starts or early starts for round two could really, really build into a situation where, yeah, some guys might not have desired outcomes. Right now, let's see here. I have not updated the scorecard. Have I updated the scorecard? Yeah, DeChambeau still minus four. I had not had Adam Scott starting yet on the one I had. That was at 7-11. So it's been a little bit of an update. Actually, let's do a double check here, because now I've got the updated one in front of me. I thought I had updated it initially. The cut line still at three over. Some guys that are making their way around or have hit started that we were talking about. There's not too many of them, actually. DeChambeau doesn't tee off until 1:31, so 12:31 our time out here in the central time zone. You know who I'm looking at today to maybe make a little bit of a run on day two?
Who you got?
I've got, well, Mito Pereira, first of all, who is one over now after a one under through five. And then also Max Homa. He didn't play too bad yesterday. He was one over. He's already two under today. And he's shot himself up 15 spots through seven holes. And he's one under overall in the whole day. He's two under on the whole day, one under on the tournament. And he's up to a top 12 finish. I like Max Homa here. He was a guy that just could not get that finishing round last season. And I don't know, he just didn't put a lot of pressure on himself on day one. And I like where he's at sitting coming into day two, because we've already got some higher scores. Justin Rose is 2 under. Michael Block, who was even through his day one, has already posted a 3 under through 11. So it's a mixed bag. There's guys that are attacking the course, I think, a little bit better than maybe we thought they would. Probably the morning group going to have the advantage over the afternoon group with that wind, I would think, Mark.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. There's going to be some high scores on the back end of the day, and we'll see who makes the move. Yesterday was a really strange day of golf that I was trying to keep up with. I mean, there were guys like Victor Hovland. Victor Hovland was always a guy that gets a lot of attention going into majors. He was just struggling early in the day yesterday, laboring at the beginning of his day. But, I mean, what a comeback for Victor. He tees off not until 12 today, but he started out 2 bogeys on his first 3 holes. That followed that up with 3 birdies, had 5 birdies on the day to 3 bogeys, so he shot a 2 under, and he is definitely in position. Got to keep your eye out another guy, Xander Schauffele. Schauffele struggled significantly yesterday. He was 4 over through his first 3 holes. He is now very much back in the mix. He's posted a 2 under today so far. He's through 8 holes, or maybe that's 7 holes. So what a comeback yesterday for Xander to get himself back in the mix, and someone to keep your eye on. He's currently sitting at even par. But there were some guys who totally fell apart yesterday, too. Sam Burns, Abe Anser, they were playing out in the afternoon yesterday. Both made the turn at 1 under. Both finished well, well over par. Burns, I think, was 4 under. I think Anser was 5. Was 4 over. Burns was 4 over, and I think Anser got to 6 over. So those guys definitely struggled a little bit, and it was just a strange day of golf. There were guys that got hot early and fell apart late, and guys that fell apart early and got hot late. So, I mean, this is a very, very difficult golf course to read up at Oak Hill.
Yeah, looking at the card for Anser, he was even par going through the first turn. He had 6 bogeys on his final 9 holes. He bogeyed 6 of the final 9. He finished the day, you were right, 6 over. He's already 1 over today, make it a 7 over on the tournament. I can't wait to see what happens today and see who does make the cut and what this tournament turns into on a Saturday-Sunday format. I do want to get a quick check-in of regional action. Just a reminder, right now, well, not quite yet, but by the time this show is wrapping up, warm-ups will be full swing and ready to go over at Garden City High School. Buffalo Stadium today playing host to the 6A track regional, also the 3A track regional. Athletic Director Drew Tone was over in the KBUF studio yesterday, and he made the comment that there's expected to be right around 2,600 athletes in total competing at Buffalo Stadium. That gets underway at 11 a.m., so already, I'm sure, some athletes getting ready, starting to warm things up. We had the early rain this morning. I think it's going to stay away the rest of the day. Should be a nice, cool day. We'll see what the wind looks to do. But I think for the most part, pretty neutral conditions for a track meet. Excited to see how that goes over at Garden City. Last night, Garden City Lady Buffalo softball season ended 5-2 against Lawrence Free State in the regional championship. Tremendous game. The only game in the regional round of 6A, both East and West, that went into extra innings. It was a 3-run home run, though, in the top of the 8th inning by Sidney Price, the shortstop for Lawrence Free State, that sunk Garden City and ended their season at 17-3 with a regional championship runner-up spot. And unfortunately, for the second straight season, Garden City softball unable to go into Lawrence for a state championship run. We do have a career coming to an end in Breeman Warren, and what a tremendous effort Breeman Warren posted last night. 575 coming into the day. She posted double-digit strikeouts. I think she finished just shy of what would be 600 career strikeouts. She would be about 10 away from second place all-time, and that is with just 3 seasons of softball action. Could you imagine what Breeman Warren's total strikeout accolades would have looked like had she had her freshman season, that COVID year wiping out her freshman year, as it did for many other athletes? There are a lot of records that probably would have been broken, but really incredible stuff what Man Warren did in limited innings in her career on the mound, carrying Garden City and trying to will the Buffaloes into Lawrence. Could not get it done, and their season ends at 17-3. Also, Garden City soccer advanced last night to the state championship tournament, or state tournament for a state championship. They took down Wichita North, scoring 2 goals in the final 10 minutes of the match to win 2-1. Buffs move on. Dodge City falls to Manhattan 3-0. A bit of a surprise. Manhattan makes the long drive down and shuts out Dodge City. Dodge City never really looked the same after Garden City beat them a 1-0 decision at Dodge City. Garden City would go on to beat Hayes, win the Western Athletic Conference, and the Red Demons just did not look as solid as they did coming in to the season. I think after that point, kind of just changed the trajectory of the year for Dodge City. But all in all, a good season for the Lady Demons, good season for the Lady Buffs on the softball diamond, and unfortunate that, well, Mark, after next weekend, our high school sports, prep sports will be done. It'll officially wrap up the year because track always one of your final events, at least for us. I mean, there'll still be stuff going on. Scott City softball did make the state championship, but that'll be next week. That'll be over by the weekend, as will state track. And it is wild to sit here and think about after the year that we have had in Western Kansas that there is less than a week essentially left of athletic action. It is really, really crazy.
Yeah, I know for you, I'm sure it's definitely a big shock after the 9 months that you put in throughout the season. Since I was a late implant. It's a little different, but I'm sure when I'm here next year, it'll be this exact same feeling to see that prep sports are done. And, it's a good time to recharge the batteries for everybody involved, I think. But, everyone's already looking just looking through the windshield here and seeing football and everything else coming up. So it'll be there before you know it.
It is a weird feeling. It really is. And this is my first year, obviously, holding a full-time job in sports and understanding kind of the cycle of covering a college season, covering a high school season. I'm to the point where I don't want to say this because it's not the right thing to say. I don't know. But it's like, what do I do? You said recharge the batteries. Yeah, you'll look over as a broadcaster, you look over your individual tape. How can you get better? How can you grow? But there is a serious feeling of like, what now? Like your day just kind of slows and you're so used to preparing and getting ready for prep. I know you've still got a little bit of Southwest Kansas Storm football to get ready for, but it really is a weird feeling of going, and then coming to a full stop almost. I don't know what I'll have to do. I might have to get a membership and start taking up some golf a little bit more seriously than I have already just to fill the time in between the next sports season, of course, and just off to, I mean, many of you do know, many of you don't know, I will not be returning next season. It will be Cal Friedman who will be taking over here in Garden City. He's going to do a fantastic job, Mark. I know you're going to continue to do great things here in Dodge City, but we will be live with the morning roundup through the month of June. We're going to be off next week. We're just going to take kind of that week off and recharge everything after the season. And then in June, we'll resume the show, go for a full month. And then towards the end of June, my final show will be probably that last week. But it is really, really an eerie feeling and kind of a bittersweet moment last night getting the final broadcast out. But moving forward and hoping for great things. But yeah, overall, just a weird feeling of what do you do? Kind of a little bit of a sense of that. Hey, real quick, 3A softball bracket just got released. Scott City will face Haven at 5 p.m. on Thursday. So that'll be a 25th or May 25th, 5 p.m. start time. It looks like they are going to be the first game of the day in tandem with Gypsum Southeast of Saline High School and Burlington High School, who will be in the bottom half of the bracket. Scott City, the 8th seed, the highest seeded team remaining in the 3A state champion. That is in Manhattan, the Twin Oaks Complex. So Haven is 22-1, Scott City 16-7. The other six teams involved, it'll be number 4 seed Beloit taking on Santa Fe Trail. That'll follow game one with Scott City and Haven. Burlington and Gypsum Southeast of Saline, and also Columbus High School and Rossville High School, the final 8 teams remaining in the 3A state championship. Let's go ahead and hit our first break here in the morning roundup. We're just past the first 20 minutes of the show. We're going to come right back. We'll have all things to talk about regarding the NBA. Can the Denver Nuggets go for the sweep? Were me and Mark right on this one? We had said, maybe a 4-1, 4-0 sweep. I don't think we're going to be correct in the East. We said the other way for the Celtics, but we might have this one in the bag, or so we hope. We'll figure it out. When we come back, we'll go over that big game last night from Jamal Murray. That much more coming up next on the Morning Roundup here on 99.9 The Rock.